naughty by nature.
On today's episode, the boys have a live studio interview with lacrosse players Ryan McCarthy and Chase Egan. We'll talk NBA Finals as Toronto takes a 2-1 lead. Game 5 of the Stanley Cup is tonight, and what's going on with New York sports? We're ready to go. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Colts Corner podcast. I'm Doug Latuca with Brian Flattow, Benjamin Dixon, Ryan McCarthy, and Chase Egan in studio. Colts lacrosse players will have an interview coming up shortly. We've got a lot on the slate today. No Mike Garafa, so I'm part producer, part host today. So I'm a little bit busy over
here.
We'll go
producer by committee. I'm back here with you.
Yeah, we got two guys over here. We're trying to figure it out. But let's just jump right into it. We did a spring sports finale sort of closing that got deleted last week because the computer was having some difficulties. But
one of our best episodes ever.
It really was a terrific episode, and I'm very upset that it got deleted. But we can't fix anything on that front. It's just unfortunate how it happened. But, Brian, if you would, just give us a little bit of a summary of the lacrosse season as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. So we went, the regular season was, it was a little tough ride, you know. We didn't finish with a winning record in the regular season, but we got the job done enough to make the playoffs. And we did something special in the playoffs. We won a playoff game, and that's something that no Hills West lacrosse team has done in the last 15 years. So that was really great for us, but unfortunately our season ended the next week when at East Islip, but it was a great season, a great ride with these guys, and I'm sure Ryan and Chase would love to talk about it also.
Yeah, so we're gonna ask him a few questions here. A great season, as Brian said, first time winning a playoff game in quite a while. We've had some controversies over the number of years and how long it's actually been. Many of you guys said 15 years. Hagen said that's incorrect. We're gonna go with 15.
I say 15 because last year everyone said 14, but I don't know if last year was correct either. Whatever
it's been a while.
It's been a while, but it's over now. We know that.
I mean, the emotions that must have been going through every player on the field after that first win, I mean, I can't even imagine it. What were you guys thinking? What did you guys say to each other after the game in the locker room, and what were you feeling going into the second game of the playoffs after finally getting past the first hump?
We're obviously really excited. A lot of emotions going on after the big win. But in the locker room, we kind of knew we had a big game with East Islip coming up. Lost to them by one in the regular season, so we knew it would be a battle. But we went to practice, worked hard. Didn't get the result we would like, but, you know, that's all she wrote. And that's really it.
Yeah, so a tough result in game two. But game one, obviously, historic. In Hills West.
Yeah, obviously that game was the highlight of the season. Obviously a great accomplishment by the team. But compared to the beginning of the season, obviously you guys didn't go one and done in the playoffs. You won that game and checked out in the second round. Comparing it to the expectations in the beginning of the season, would you say you matched those, overachieved, underachieved? What would your thoughts be on that?
I think every year, for some reason, people just expect us to go to the championship, Suffolk County Championship. But I think in all the players' mind, we kind of, you know what our expectations really are. But, you know, really just a lot of the guys' main goal this season was just to win a playoff game. So we got that done, and, you know, that was just an expectation I wanted, and we got it.
Chase, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think we matched our expectations because, like, leading up to the season, all we thought about was winning the playoff game because, like, so many teams in the past, like, haven't been able to do it. And for us to do it, it's pretty special because, like, we're the team that broke the curse. And then we have a lot of talent come back next year also, so hopefully they can build on our win and maybe go farther.
Did you feel that this team was special or was able, like, before the season, do you think that they that you knew that this team was going to break the curse and that they had, like, the magic formula, so to speak?
Yeah, I had a feeling. I knew we had a great group of seniors. We had 16 guys graduating on our team. A lot of them starters, and a lot of them got playing time. So, yeah, it was an I thought so, but yeah, it happened. So, yeah, that was really it.
Bro, you can add on it too if you want.
Oh yeah, I think we definitely hit our expectation there. Preseason, I knew this group was really great. Last year, just seeing what we did going into playoffs, knowing the guys that we lost. Yeah, we lost some big pieces last year, but I knew we'd come back strong this year. And just the way that we fought all season long, I knew all along that we would definitely this team is a little different than teams in the past. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you said that a lot of seniors are graduating this year. How do you think the group will adjust next year? Obviously, after winning that one playoff game, you think that they build off of it, or what are your thoughts? I mean, you're losing a lot of talent next year.
Yeah, I think they definitely can build off it. It depends on whether or not guys step up. Will they put in the work in the off season? Will they put in the work required to take that next step? They definitely have the talent, definitely have the good coaching. Yeah, they could do it, but it's up to whatever they do. So, yeah.
So, yeah, that'll do it for that interview. I know you guys may want to stick around for our upcoming segments here. Talk a little pro sports, a little what's going on in the New York sports world.
Yeah, totally. Great work, guys. Good interview there.
Appreciate it.
Great answers from Ryan McCarthy and Chase Egan.
That's Captain Ryan McCarthy.
Correct. And yes,
Captain,
indeed.
Baby. And just a few other accolades right there for Ryan McCarthy. That's all division and top team midfielder. And Chase, not those accolades, but a great season.
Good season nonetheless.
Appreciate it, Brian. Thank you, man.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get answers like that anywhere here on the Colts Corner. You get them right from the players, directly from the source. So
also, can't let Bri live this one down. All division.
Thanks, buddy.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, congrats on that, buddy.
Very impressive. Wow.
Thanks,
outstanding
buddy.
Stuff. So, I mean, our podcast got deleted last week, so I guess we should talk spring sports briefly. We just spoke lacrosse. Let's just talk baseball. Obviously, not the result that they wanted. A good season, nonetheless. Really special team. I was on this year. I was able to lead that team this year. An unfortunate loss on a walk-off home run in the bottom of the seventh inning to Shoreham Wading River after Jacob Glickstein pretty much outpitched the ace of Shoreham Wading River, one of the best pitchers on the island. Jacob Glickstein outpitched him, just was unable to get the result we wanted. But overall, really a good season. A lot of awards to hand out. Last night, I believe, was the award dinner, so a lot of celebration there for some outstanding players. Mike Draskin was the team MVP, voted on by the players, pretty much by a landslide. I mean, he won another batting title in the county. So that's back to back.
What did he bat? 440?
He batted 471 this year. 470 last year, 471 this year. And he's won back to back batting titles. Aiden Tornquist also had an outstanding year. I believe he came in second in the county, the best pitcher in the county. So, I mean, definitely one of the MVPs of this team. We had a lot of all-league, I believe six all-league, and Aiden and Mike won all-county. So, impressive there for the baseball team. A good season. And next year, although losing a lot of seniors, I believe the group is pretty strong next year. They'll find their way. They'll be fine. So a good season for them. Girls softball lost in a play-in game, a 2-1 heartbreaker.
8-9 game, right?
Yes, tough 8 one. Versus 9. Just a tough way to go out. But a good season. I know they had fun. I know a lot of players on that team. We know a lot of members on there. They said they had a good time this year. Obviously emotional for a lot of the seniors leaving. But they had an up and down year as we've highlighted here on the podcast, but an accomplishment making it to the playoffs.
Definitely,
obviously a little bit disappointing after last year's spectacular run in the playoffs, though.
Also, first year with the new coach too, right?
Correct. Yeah, Matarotona was the assistant last year. Now, the head coach of the lacrosse team as Mr. Dugan, made his way over to the courts. Correct.
Tennessee.
They had a good year, too.
What did I say?
You said lacrosse.
Did I actually?
Yeah, that's not changing.
You know what he meant.
Still Connor Hayes.
You know what he meant.
Yeah.
But
yeah, no. Good, tennis courts,
good,
for sure.
Good year for our...
Keep him on the courts. He had a good year, though.
Yeah.
Tennis had a real good
year. Our friends, Keshav Khanna, him and Amon, went undefeated during the regular season in doubles. Amon's his brother, if you guys didn't know. Liam Paris, putting together some strong performances. Michael
actually
Lombardi
got in the lineup this year.
Yeah, he did.
Did
he
a nice job.
Mike Lombardi, Rahul Mather. You know?
Yeah, they had the first round.
The list goes on and on.
Yeah, they had the first round bye. Then they won their next match and then were handed a 7-0 pounding by East. But East is a legit team, but a good run for Hills West. A lot of seniors leaving next year, which could be a problem. But I know there is a lot of talent on that team. A lot of middle schoolers actually were on the roster this year. So the talent is there's a big pool of talent down there. And they should be fine for next year.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's our spring sport wrap-up. We had a much better one last podcast. I'm very upset at this computer, but that was quick. Let's get into last night, NBA Finals, Raptors with a big win. I mean, led by Kawhi was all right last night.
Danny Green. He ended up taking over late down
but
the
I mean,
stretch.
But Van Vliet, Danny Lowry, Green. Danny Green. Really were just
Siakam,
tremendous.
Serge Ibaka defensively.
I mean, Serge Ibaka had 5. They actually pulled that out on the broadcast.
Really? Yeah, I heard him say that. It was some good pun.
I don't know if you noticed, Mike Breen, who's the play-by-play announcer for ABC, I think his two favorite players to announce are Steph Curry and Danny Green. I don't think there's anything more he loves.
It's just
when Danny Green hits a 3 and he screams, bang!
It's just a bang party. That's really what it is, all over the place. Every time... they keep making threes. And, I mean, that call is pretty famous, mostly from that Steph Curry 3 against
Oklahoma City.
That's where the call really got its name. But nonetheless, great performance by the Raptors last night. 123-109 victory. They take a 2-1 lead in the series. Kawhi had 30. Steph Curry had 47. I mean, he just had no help.
You know what? You knew Steph was going to go off. You watched in the pregame. He had 21 consecutive threes. That was on Instagram. I saw that house of highlights. But he, but that's when you know, like when you see a guy hitting 21 straight threes, you know he's going to try and put the team back.
With no Clay either.
He just got no help in that game. No Clay, no Durant, no Looney for the rest of the series.
I mean, and Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins.
Cousins
was horrific.
You may as well not have Cousins out there. He's turning the ball over, not playing defense.
Horrific. I mean. He was just a no-show after actually playing pretty well in game 2 in his return. Game 3 was one that he'd like to put past him. But Golden State's really just crippled right now. Hopefully they get some pieces back. But the Raptors with a big win, and McCarthy has something to say on it.
Actually, I have a question.
Okay.
What do you think's going to happen in game 4?
Really depends.
Clay's coming back for game 4.
It really depends who plays. If Clay comes back, it's going to be a tighter game. I just like the way the Raptors are playing right now. I think it's tough to win 2 in a row on the road. That's why I think Golden State will get it done just to tie up the series. But I think the Raptors are playing better basketball right now.
Yeah, if Clay's back, I like Golden State by probably around 10. I think they're hungry. Want to go out there, get somewhat back to full strength. I don't think Durant's playing game 4. I don't know if he's going to play the whole series. I really do think Golden State's hiding something from us.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I really just think, even with Clay back, I mean, what was that game 2 final score when they won in Toronto? What was it, only by a few points, right?
Yeah, it was by 5.
It was
5.
A close game, yeah.
I think,
you know, 109-104.
I think when an injured Klay Thompson is playing anyway, I think Toronto's got another good shot at beating them anyway. I think they really need KD back. I think he's definitely the head of that team, and it's going to hurt him if he doesn't play.
I mean, he was the best player in the playoffs before... before he went down.
Definitely.
You think Kawhi?
I think Kawhi.
Maybe it was Kawhi.
Yeah.
It's the
both
two of
them.
Them.
Both
they
them
were,
are
they were neck and neck. They were doing great.
I mean, this is something else to consider for Golden State. DeMarcus Cousins can't be as bad as he was last night.
He was horrendous.
I mean, he was...
They
it
took
was like
out.
You threw me out there on the court, and I was just fumbling around. The guy looked like he was a step behind, just he looked like he should be just wearing a suit on the bench.
Yeah. He was 1 for 7 from the field. There were some layup attempts that were really awkward from him last night. He looked like he couldn't move.
And the worst was he would take the layup and then he'd fall onto the side, try and draw a foul. Would never work. He wasn't actually fouled. And they wouldn't get back on defense. And they did a three. Danny Green, that's how he got his points. Kyle Lowry, the open threes. That's what killed them. I think it was Cousins' play a lot of it.
I think you got to credit Toronto there. Marcus Gasol, a much better defensive game in game three than he had in game two. He was a former defensive player of the year. Toronto, I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen an NBA team with this defensive intensity and playing really as well defensively against an offensive juggernaut like Toronto is.
Yeah, but for Golden State, a positive to take out is, I mean, Ibaka had 6 blocks. He was a monster defensively. Looked like his old self with OKC last night. Really sort of a flashback to when he was a legitimate big man in the league. He's still very good off the bench for them, and he's a great spark plug. But for Golden State, you don't expect Ibaka to be as good as he was last night. And if Cousins can at least neutralize him somewhat, or at least go to work on him defensively. I mean, Ibaka was working against nobody. I mean, at one point they had Jarebko in the game. I mean, they had no presence underneath the basket. And I don't want to take credit away from Ibaka. He played outstanding. But once you put some force underneath the hoop.
Bogut played all right yesterday in a few minutes. There was a stretch, and I think it was either the third or the fourth quarter. He had a few shots in a row. But, I mean, you're right. Ibaka was dominant, and you got to expect him to come back to earth. The same way you got to expect, like, Danny Green. He's not going to hit every three like he did yesterday.
Exactly.
Something like that. I have the Warriors in game four.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm not going to bet against them, but I don't know about the series, man. When it goes back to Toronto, I mean, game five, no KD. I'm taking the Raptors in that one. So 3-2 lead for the Raptors. Anything could happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's good basketball. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the NBA, but this finals has been exciting. Maybe it's just because Golden State has lost a couple games. You know, it's kind of refreshing, you know, not seeing Golden State tally up the wins so much as they've lost the first two games out of three of this series. So you'd expect Golden State to come back. But just one more thing I want to talk about. A part owner of the Warriors last night shoving Kyle Lowry.
That was a joke.
On the sideline. A joke in what way?
It was horrible. Yeah, I mean, you don't pay to sit courtside to shove a player. I mean, you sit courtside, you bought the tickets, you watch the game, you be respectful, that's it.
Also, I think
you don't touch the guys.
I think it's more if he fell on him and then he pushed him off. I think it's a little bit different.
I get that, but there was a shove from the side.
He was on the side. Yeah. He was not attacked. I mean, if some guy 25 pounds of just a monster falls on me,
well, it's a reflex to put your hands.
Yeah, I mean,
you might
shove him off you. I mean, you're getting squished like a bug. I would probably push him off me too. But it was a physical play from the outside. The owner was not affected by the play by Lowry, and I think there's just no place for that in the game. Horrific. That guy has now been banned from all finals games this year. Golden State will not let him see any more action for the finals. I don't know about any other penalty, but that's what I saw. Golden State came out with a statement.
Here's what I see. I see that happening for Golden State, but then no one's even talking about the back rub with Drake. I don't think either of them's a big deal. Well, Drake's bad. He's rubbing the coach's back.
Different.
Isn't it the same thing?
But that's good. Drake is good for the NBA.
That's positive energy right there.
No, I like Drake on the sideline. I love what he's doing.
He's also the Raptors' like global ambassador or whatever. So he is a part of the team in however way you want to say that. I mean, I don't know. I think those two situations aren't really too comparable.
Yeah, I mean, it just there's one where a player is in danger due to physical altercations where a shove was involved.
I mean, is he really in danger?
It was more disrespectful.
I'm just saying from the perspective of an NBA player, when you play a sport, I know from Gordon Cup, if anyone knows.
Great tournament.
Yeah, the hockey tournament up at camp. Timberlake packs the dome in there. And there are fans grabbing you over the boards, and
it's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there are a bunch of fat, sweaty guys grabbing you, and it's just and they're yelling at you, and it's sometimes you feel like you're in danger. You know what I mean? But I guess he felt he was in danger there. There's just no place for any physical play from a fan to a player.
I agree. Just, I agree with that. To say one more point before you move on to the next thing. Everyone's got to cut my boy LeBron some slack. You saw what Steph Curry did last night, 47 points by himself and still lost. LeBron was doing that for the last – he did it last year, and he did it in 2015 when they lost to the Warriors the first time.
And he did it in 2017 when Durant – the first year with Durant in Golden State.
Right. He did it a number of times. So everyone's got to, you know, give him some slack.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. So Raptors with the 2-1 lead in the series. We move over to the NHL where we're tied up at 2 between the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins. Game tonight, 8 o'clock. Bruins heavy favorites.
I sent you that. What was it? Yeah. Minus 310?
It was. Here it says it's minus 150, which is more realistic.
That's probably, I think ESPN definitely had that wrong. But the Bruins should be favored in this game at home. I'm excited to see what happens. Not much of a hockey analysis guy here, but Andre watching the Cup. If the Islanders aren't playing, I can't really give you too much analysis.
Yeah, so. I mean, for Boston, I know Chase can talk a little bit of the NHL, but Chara, his status unclear.
Broken jaw, right?
Apparently he can't open up his mouth, so he's been writing his answers to media questions down for the media to hear what he has to think,
hockey.
I guess. So he's going out there with a full shield on. He was on the ice today. I don't know if he's going to get in the lineup, but that's a big loss for them. And the injury bug has hit a lot of these teams. You know, the NHL is very taxing on the body. Grizzlick early on in the series was hit by Sundstrom, correct? Yeah, that makes sense. I believe that's true. Yeah, so he was suspended for that hit, but Grizzlick has not returned yet. It would be nice if he returned to the lineup. He could play with any one of the defensemen on Boston. But right now, the series is pretty even. Honestly, these two teams are very good. I'd hate to see Boston win again.
Me too.
They've had enough parades, you know.
I think everybody's
enough is enough. St.
Louis.
Okay.
Couldn't happen to a worse city either.
I can't really give you a game pick because I don't know anything about the NHL.
Just pick the Bruins. They're at home. Come on.
Nah, I'm picking the Blues. Because I don't like the Bruins.
I'm sorry, it's not Sundstrom. It's Sunquist. By the way, I'm just correcting myself. It was Sunquist who hit Grizzlick. So just correcting that. But I like the Blues in this series. I think Binnington's playing great hockey.
I agree.
In the Binnington. Net. But Rask has been equally as good, which is scary. If you're not rooting for Boston, he's been one of the best players in this Stanley Cup playoffs. And he's been really good. And offensively, you know, Boston has the checking line, which is all over the place. St. Louis is able to match with their size and physicality. But skill-wise, I think Boston has the upper hand on the offensive side. But defensively, with the injuries for Boston, I think St. Louis can exploit the Bruins and possibly steal a couple games here. Game in Boston tonight, so obviously upper hand goes to Boston. But you'd like to see St. Louis pull this one out.
I'm sure Perez will be in attendance, Dave Portnoy.
He probably will.
He sent out a press release, actually, after game four. A Blues fan hit him in the head with a towel. So he was he claimed it as assault. He was very upset by that. Not really anything.
Which towel? Was he in Boston?
It was a rally
or in
towel.
Louis?
No, it was in St. Louis.
Because I know that he made the Boston rally towel.
He did.
And Barstools was a sponsor, and people were not happy about that.
Yeah, just wanted to.
I saw him in St. Louis. Saw some of the pizza reviews. St. Louis.
Yeah.
He said the
cracker pizza. You saw that one?
Yeah, the cracker pizza one. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Didn't look good.
Did not look good at all.
Pizza looked bad. Yeah, it was like really thin. Yeah, and they cut it up into like tiny little pieces.
You gotta check out the One Bite app. See what's going on.
It really is spectacular. Little thing that they've created there. But we'll move on into some New York sports. Groff is not here to talk about the Mets. I know he would probably take up half the show talking about Jason Vargas last night. But, I mean, it is impressive
stuff.
It
was pretty good yesterday.
That guy was getting booed off the field early on in the year. He's figured himself out. He's got under a 150 ERA
third best ERA in the NL
since
April 19th.
April
19th, yeah. That's pretty good.
I'd say so.
I mean, nothing else is going well for the Mets, but that's pretty good.
Totally.
I'll take that.
100%. But from the Yankee standpoint, 5-5 in their last 10. They've lost 3 in a row. And I think the Magic's starting to wear off.
We need some reinforcements. We got to get Didi back in there. Got to sign Dallas Keuchel. who else is coming back? Stanton. Hopefully this guy doesn't get hurt on his rehab assignment again.
Judge could be back for the London series
That'd
against
be late
Boston.
June.
Yeah, Betanzas, is he still alive? Do we know?
No
Do,
idea.
We haven't heard anything from him.
I think he may have had a catch from 60 feet. That was either him or Severino.
Something like that. It's a different guy every day. Meredith Marakovitz is working tirelessly to with the injury report every night. So there's new news all the time. But right now we are 16 games over 500. First in the AL East, but, you know, Boston's creeping up on us.
Tampa's
and,
still there.
They're a real good team. Yeah. So, I, as a Yankee fan, I'm a little nervous here. We could be getting swept by Toronto tonight. They're one of the worst teams in the league. They are.
They're awful.
They're 15 games under 500. They're fourth in the AL East. They're horrific.
Not
They have
not
Edwin
good.
Jackson pitching tonight. That guy's pitched on the most teams
14
in
teams,
the MLB.
Right? 14 teams, I think.
It's around there. He's pitched on the most teams in the MLB. I mean, talk about, and he's 0-3 with a 13.22 ERA. You got to exploit this guy. Come on. Come on now. We need a little bit. There's got to be a little bit of magic left. Come on.
Let's get the bats going tonight.
Totally, but Hap's on the mound, so that's not much better for the Yanks. He's struggled. But against his former team, maybe he'll
have a little juice.
Yeah, he'll have a little throwback performance to when we originally got him last year, went 7-1 down the stretch.
Indeed.
Yeah, great player there. So that pretty much wraps up our podcast today. That was pretty well done. Got through a lot of professional sports. Had a great interview here with the Lacrosse boys. But
yeah,
you can let us out.
Yeah, that'll do it for us today. As always, we'd like to thank the following people. Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapano, the administration, the Board of Education. Our audience listens every Thursday. And finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. Thank you, Ryan and Chase, for joining us today in studio, talking a little lax, a little pro sports. But that'll do it for us today. Mikey Stats Graff, we miss him. I'm Ben Dixon alongside Doug Satuka, Brian Flattow. We will see you next week.